the Gospel of John, we will read chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, and say the following. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. So I wanted to encourage us by reading this text today. Why? Because as I already mentioned in Russian, we live in the time that things are going on around us in the world where it's easy to get distracted as it seems that things are just getting worse and worse. And we won't have to look far to see examples. And here, when we look at this particular text, we see two sides of the coin here. One, we see the rejection of Christ, which is written in verses 10 through 11. The rejection of Christ, how it says here, he was in the world. He came to the world, but the world had rejected him. And then in verses 12 through 13, we see the acceptance of Christ, those that accepted him and the promises left to those. And so, as I mentioned, it's easy for us to look around and see how challenging it is for true Christians to be in this world. It seems like the opposition is getting heavier and heavier. But you know what? It's no different from how things were 2,000 years when John was writing his gospel and this book to the church. It was no different because during that time, 2,000 years ago, the opposition was mounting and it was getting harder and harder for hundreds and thousands of years to come. And so as we see here in these verses, what does John say? John reminds us of who Christ is. So let's look at the rejection of Christ by the world, which are in verses 10 and 11. Let's look at the rejection of Christ in the world. First, in verse 10, it says here, he was in the world. He was in the world. So clearly it's talking about Christ here. Christ was in the world. It's a historical fact. No one disputes that Christ was born, had come, lived, and died in the world. All of the scholars, theologians, and just the common men recognizes and realizes that Christ was in the world. What people do debate a little bit is what happened to him after his death. We know he was born, he lived, and he died, but people debate whether he was resurrected or not. And here, John tells us that he was in the world. And if you look a couple of verses further, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word became flesh. He's making a reference to the very first verse of this book where it says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. So clearly he's talking about God becoming flesh, Christ being God, becoming flesh and coming to this world. So in the opening statement of that verse, when he says he was in the world, John is saying that God was in the world. He moves on and says this, and the world was made through him. John supports his statement and comment that God was in the world by saying and reminding us that it is he, it is Christ that had made the world. The world was made through him, as you see the second statement in verse 10. The world was made through him. Remember Colossians 1:16 where it says, for by him all things were created. All things in heaven, whether they're visible or invisible. And here John reminds us that it is he, God, Christ, who came to this world. Through him, all things were created. But what happened? Look, in verse 10, it also says, and the world did not know him. The world didn't know him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And here, the world did not know him. Why? Because as Christ himself says, their Father is not God. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know him. Now think about that for a second. God, who made everyone, who is the creator and the father of all, comes to this world and the world doesn't recognize him, doesn't know him. It would be equivalent or analogous to, let's say, a president of the United States visiting some town or village or city and villagers coming out, looking at him and not recognizing and knowing the obvious that he is the president. Except here it's much worse because it wasn't the president, it was the God himself who had come into the world and the world did not know him. The world did not know him. And furthermore, look in verse 11, it says he came to his own. Within the world, he came to those that he chose, the nation of Israel, his own, and his own didn't receive him, as it says. Not only did they not receive him, they also rejected him. They also crucified him. And as in Acts 13:27, if you recall when Paul was preaching to the synagogue in Antioch, how he told them that it was all foreordained and through the hands of the Gentiles they had done that. So we see, first and foremost, that when God, in the form of Christ, came to this world, he was rejected. He was also rejected by his own. When we stop and look around in our current world and see, is there any similarity? I think the resounding answer will be yes. In most places throughout this world, not just this country, but other countries, we see that he has also been. Let us not be saddened, and let us not be disappointed by that. Let us not be frustrated by that either, because John doesn't stop the story there, but he continues on. He doesn't get frustrated, he doesn't get down, but he continues on in verse 12 and he says, but as many as received him, and after that he moves on and tells the great news to those that have received him. So let me just pause and acknowledge that caveat. It says, but as many as received him. So what follows that statement is clearly associated not with all the people or to all the people, but only to those that have received him. And so what does he say to those that have received him? He says, to those that have received, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What a wonderful promise and what a wonderful statement that is. In light or in the context of this world not recognizing God, in the context of this world rejecting God and crucifying God, he's saying, but to those that have received them, there's this wonderful promise. There's this wonderful right that has been bestowed upon them. It is for them to have the right to become children of God. And think about that, brothers and sisters, because all of us, you and I included, we were in the category of being God's enemies. We did not want to come to him. We were fighting against him. We were running away from him. We were crucifying him with the rest of the people, with the rest of the mockers who were around him on Calvary. But in his infinite mercy, he is extending us that right to become children of God. If that doesn't move you, that should. And most of us grew up in normal homes where we had parents that took care of us and surrounded us with love. And perhaps it's difficult for us to really understand, and even in human terms, what it means to have a right to become a child of someone. Or have an opportunity to speak with someone who has either been adopted or in foster care, or doesn't have parents altogether, even in this human environment, you will recognize the value and the worth of having a father and a mother and having a right to become a child of someone. Having the opportunity to go back to the home of your parents, regardless of whatever might be happening in the life of a child. But how much more so excited, how much more privileged should we feel here when God tells us that He is giving us the right to become a child, not of a humanly parent, but of God Himself. May His name be praised. And then, as we're reading that, as we're recognizing this wonderful right to be His child that He's bestowing upon us in the context of this world rejecting Him and falling apart, the question that might come to our mind is, well, what does it mean when it says, but to as many as have received Him? What does it mean to have received God? Because I certainly want to receive that blessing. I want to be a child of God. I want to have the right to the inheritance of God that He's offering. And let me tell you, the inheritance is great. The inheritance is eternal life, and the inheritance is forgiveness and salvation from our sins. So if you are like me, who was wondering, how do I actually receive that? John doesn't stop, but he clarifies for us as to how that happens. Look at the end of verse 12. He tells us that this right to become children of God is given to who? To those who believe in His name, first of all, and secondarily, who were born of God. So let's just pause there for a second. First, he tells us that we are to believe. It's given to those that believe in God. It's very simple. Do you believe? Do you accept this message of the gospel that God had left for us in His Word? There's no works involved. There's no trying to win God over. There's no deeds that are involved. But John tells us it's to those that believe. But maybe you're a skeptic, and your comeback to this will be, well, demons believe as well, which is true. Demons do believe, and clearly salvation and the gift of inheritance is not to them. So that's why John doesn't stop there, but he goes on to clarify, and he says that it's to those that believe, have the saving faith, as well as to those who were born of God. So he clarifies for us that this wonderful inheritance is for those that believe and that had the transformation and had the regeneration, had the repentance in their life, as he is calling here as this wonderful birth of God that's not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but is of God. It's that transformative event that happens in our life when we fall on our knees, when we have no self-worth, no trust in our own self, but we turn to God. And as we think about that, again, reflecting on our current world, reflecting on where we stand today, reflecting on the decay of our society, and just the decay all around us, and we think and remember how things were 2,000 years ago, we see that it's not that much different. We see that our world today also is not recognizing God. It's rejecting God. And brothers and sisters, that is no different how it was 2,000 years and how it's always been. Why? Because the father of this world who rules right now is not Christ. But John encourages us. John encourages us, and in these verses tells us to look forward. Why? Because we have this wonderful right. We are children of God. We have an inheritance coming to us, and that in itself is motivation enough. That in itself should give us joy and perseverance as we move forward. May His name be glorified. Amen.